The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
I saw a pale horse,
the beast.
We're told in the book of Revelation.
This is not a human child.
Isn't an angel?
Satan! Armageddon is almost upon us.
Order the use of nuclear weapons.
The world is a fine place and worth fighting for.
From one end of the world to the other, I will oppose you.
Welcome to the end of the world.
Wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. This is PID Radio.
From the snow-crusted heartland of America, greetings. I'm Derek Gilbert.
Oh, I'm just crusty. This is Sharon Gilbert. Welcome to our snowy bunker on this, let's see, it's the 6th. Of January.
Yes.
One day past your birthday.
And I want to thank everyone who took a moment out of their day to send a thanks via Facebook. I lost track. It was a lot. I received more birthday greetings yesterday than I have in any of my previous 48. So it was really humbling to know that there are that many people out there who you know, cared enough to even just send a happy birthday. I really appreciate that. That was really, really nice.
That wasn't. So. You know, I had the same thing last year on my birthday. Wonderful group of people out there who listen to our show, and many who, frankly, have met us on Facebook and may not listen to the show at all. So thank you very much, everybody. And, well, good night. No, we've got things to – what was that?
I just had to shut off the phone just in case.
I see. Yeah. You know, while you're doing that, I have a question. As the the theme music was opening the show, you and I usually sit here and I bob our heads back and forth. And once we do the video, people will see
<That's right.
laughs> that we're bobbing our heads. And I always have always wondered, are people who listen sitting there and going –
and singing along with that theme? I don't know. Good question. I wonder if anyone listening carefully to the audio clips that we dropped into the theme have identified all of the various clips. They're all from fairly well-known movies and television programs.
Oh, that's a really good – you know, we should have a prize for someone who gets that.
Ooh.
We'll talk about that. We'll figure out something. Speaking of prizes, we want to remind everybody, in case you aren't aware of this, Tom and Nita Horn's home burned down to the ground, nothing left of it. And the reason I mentioned the prize part is apparently he was running a contest and the prize also burned.
Well, yeah, it was the Grand National Challenge, which was part of the release of his book, Apollyon Rising 2012, which tied some symbolism in the architecture of Washington, D.C., some of it Freemasonic, to what Tom believes, and I think he presents a compelling case for a magical working involving the world's largest obelisk.
Oh, sacred geometry.
Yes,
absolutely agree with him on that. He's onto it.
Right. So anyway, he had a mysterious document or of some sort that has historic value, or, well, had, because it is now dust. That was going to be part of the prize, along with about $10,000 in cash, if I understand the contest correctly. But no one had been able to decipher the Grand National Challenge, and
now,
Tom
now
was
just
finally
to explain,
going to.
The cash did not burn.
No. So the prize that was going to accompany the money went up in smoke. Along with, well, frankly,
isn't
most of their belongings.
Interesting. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. They are rebuilding. Tom and Nita are okay. Apparently, Tom suffered a bit of smoke inhalation, but they are okay. They are fine. And it didn't, Nita has some horses, and the horses
they're
are fine. So, praise God for that.
Amen.
Amen.
But how interesting that that item, along with many other things that are very important to, frankly, his ministry,
right,
went up in smoke.
Yeah, he had a library of ancient books, research material that he had collected for upcoming projects and so forth, and all of that is lost. So there are some irreplaceable things, but nothing is truly irreplaceable.
Because we're going to leave all this behind.
Exactly.
None of this really matters in the long run. What, the reason it matters is because it is part of our ministry. Mm-hmm. And I know that Tom Horn really suffers that loss.
Right.
And, you know, it's as you say, he's not going to be able to rebuild that library as it was. But the Lord will give him the tools he needs to do exactly what the Lord
wants him to do.
Has planned for him to do.
Yeah. And in the weeks ahead, we'll be talking about a conference that Tom is organizing for July in Branson, Missouri. And, of course, PID Radio will be there.
Mm-hmm.
And there will be some other very well-known names that are connected to that. But we will announce all that on Tom's timetable. But just as a tease to let you know that that is forthcoming for the summer of 2011. The Grand National Cipher Challenge website doesn't have information about the fire there, but you can find out more about the contest. They will bring the contest back online, as it were, but like everything else right now in the Horns' lives, it's kind of on hold at the moment. So anyway, yeah, that was some big news. Other things going on this week as we start the first full week of 2011. We've talked about the bird deaths in Arkansas and Louisiana earlier this week, and now we're seeing other
We're going to link to a map that someone else's. We did not do this map.
Right,
but
right.
Someone else took the time to put together at Google Maps of the various mystery bird deaths, fish deaths, things like that,
mm-hmm.
and pinpoints them and links to the articles, you know, supporting his claim that this happened. Because I see in a lot of forums, oh yeah, we had hundreds or thousands of, you know, die over in a town next to me. Well, if you really look at it, there's no evidence. And that's what we have to have.
Yes,
we
right.
have to have evidence
yeah.
for it.
Let's not do this on anecdotal evidence. Well, I heard from somebody who heard from somebody.
Well, I am going to get into a little anecdotal evidence of a sort.
Oh, okay.
There is an article at the Telegraph.
Mm-hmm.
So there is an article that discusses a blog.
Mm-hmm.
It's a conundrum wrapped in a mystery, wrapped in a blog that is at Science 20, Join the Revolution, is what it's called, and the scientist's name is Tommaso Dorigo. And he has written about rumors
mm-hmm.
that the Fermi Lab in Illinois,
just outside Chicago, yeah,
has perhaps discovered a light Higgs boson. It's less filling.
It's one-third less filling than the regular Higgs
exactly.
boson? I see.
Exactly. No, seriously.
Fewer carbs.
yeah. Yes. The carb footprint is lower. There are rumors about that the Fermi Lab has discovered this. And supposedly it's very recently that they did, as in the last few weeks. So I sent a note to a friend of ours who is indeed a particle physicist.
Mm-hmm.
He's one with some pretty serious chops.
Yeah.
And
he used to work for no such agency.
Mm-hmm. Yes. He is the cigarette-smoking man. He's a good friend of ours. I sent him a note and asked him about various, you know, ideas. I won't get into the whole thing, but essentially what I asked him is if indeed someone – Fermi Labs, if someone had discovered a boson, is it possible that in the subatomic world, an action creating a boson would have a reaction elsewhere in the world that might end up in bird deaths, fish deaths, things like that? He wrote back and he said, well, Sharon, the short answer is yes.
And, you know, for those of us who don't understand particle physics, which is probably most of us,
I think all of us. I'm not sure particle, physicists really. Well, and in fact, that was our friend's response. He said, short answer is yes, but let me tell you the reason it is because this field is so fuzzy.
Hmm.
We really don't know what we're dealing with, but they are all interconnected.
It's the Higgs boson itself is a particle that's only been predicted. They don't really know whether it exists. They're looking for it because, hypothetically, this could explain inconsistencies in theoretical physics,
mm-hmm.
things that don't make sense when they take what we think we know, existing theories about physics, and apply them, especially to subatomic particles, things happen that aren't predictable. Things happen that have no explanation. And so they've come up with this idea, this hypothetical massive elementary particle called the Higgs boson, that is supposed to explain away all of this. Sort of like the way dark matter in outer space explains the presence of mass that shouldn't be there under our current understanding of astrophysics. Mm-hmm. In other words, it's almost like trying to come up with a we don't know what we don't know, but if we invent something that does this, that would explain everything. And so that's what they're trying to do with the Tevatron at Fermilab and CERN, the Large Hadron Collider. So anyway, the theory is that they might have discovered this, but in so doing, they set off
Well, the Fermilab, the Tevatron has come out and said, no, we didn't.
Yeah.
Nothing to see here. I have no idea. It could be that this blog is a controlled leak.
Yeah.
It could be that they're saying, we did the nose. It could be that they're saying, we already got one.
Uh-huh. Yep.
I don't know.
Scientists are supposed to get together in July for an international conference on high-energy physics, and it could be that Fermilab doesn't want to let the cat out of the bag early. But the blogger who wrote about this says, or wrote, that it has come to him from two different sources that may or may not be independent of one another.
Mm-hmm.
So again, you're right. It could be a controlled leak to let this sort of out, because Tevatron and CERN are sort of, rivals. Yeah. And, when you are in the world of academia and you want funding, grant money, you have to produce. So this is very interesting. We'll put a link in the show notes to the post. Unless you're a particle physicist, you probably won't understand what Professor Dorigo is talking about. We certainly didn't. But the point is,
we skipped to the end.
Yeah, the point is, in their search for particles that would make the world comprehensible to particle physicists, there is at least a rumor out there that they've found one. And, some speculation that what if, in discovering this thing, in creating this by mashing particles together at light speed, that they set off some sort of chain reaction that nobody expects throughout the known universe that is killing wildlife?
Well, it's sort of like shooting a gun in a dome.
Oh, and the ricochet is ding, 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 ding. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And not knowing where it's going to go.
Right.
Yeah. That's very interesting. There was some other speculation that's been floating around the web, and I mention this only because I've seen the article sent to me a couple of times, that speculated that the death of John Wheeler, who was characterized, by the way, as an aide to President Bush, he was really more of a low-level legal counsel. I mean, he was no more of an aide to the president than, say, the guy who helps prep Air Force One for flight is an aide to President Bush. And he worked under Democratic administrations as well. So, I think Fox News mischaracterized him a little bit. He was sort of, as one blogger or one Washington political columnist wrote, he was more like an outer planet in the solar system of Washington, D.C. Now, having said that, the rumor was that he was killed because he had discovered something regarding a secret weapons test in Arkansas that led to the bird deaths there. And the origin of the material was sheer speculation. It was sheer fiction. It's not sourced to any credible open source intelligence, if you will. And so, if you see that story popping around that John Wheeler was killed because he knew too much about this secret weapons test involving, gas or something in Arkansas.
We really can't speak to that because we have no evidence of it.
Look for something sourced to somebody credible instead of these vague allusions to Russian intelligence says,
Yeah, well.
Yeah. So anyway, dismiss
coming
that.
Out of the Kremlin today is, don't go there.
Yeah.
Now, his death.
The
48
weird.
Hours preceding it are really weird. Have you seen the CCTV camera footage of him wandering around?
I saw a glimpse about that. Now, yeah, his death is very weird. I mean, his death, he was discovered when a dumpster was emptied at a dump site, and this body came out.
If I remember correctly, 24 hours before he was discovered by this...
Sam is apparently burying a chew stick in his little bed over there.
He's discovering the Diggs boson. No, Mom, it's just a light one.
Yeah, now he's staring at us. Don't laugh at me. I will
obey
not be
the dachshund.
That's right. Obey, fear the dachshund.
Before he was discovered, sadly dead, apparently CCTV footage caught him wandering in a hall, what looks like a hallway, and he's very disheveled. And yet there's another camera that finds him later on where he is in a different outfit, looking less disheveled, less sort of drunk acting. There was someone who is a witness who's come forth and said, yeah, I served him. I don't know if it was a hamburger or what, but he ordered something from him. And he said the gentleman had very, very red bloodshot eyes.
Yeah, he was filmed on closed circuit TV at a car park wearing one shoe. And there's a still in the an article at the Telegraph with him holding a shoe in his left hand. Surveillance video of the car park. This is from Dover, Delaware, I believe. He was found at a landfill in Wilmington, Delaware. So it's very, very bizarre. Temperatures in Dover that night were as low as 22 degrees Fahrenheit. That's about -5, -6 Celsius. And he was, killed shortly after this was taken. This footage was taken on December 29th. And he was put into a dumpster and then dumped off in the landfill in Wilmington. So, he appeared to be somewhat disoriented, told the attendant at this car park that he'd been robbed while was staying at a local hotel and was trying to find his rental car, but his own car was parked in a garage just a couple minutes away.
Well,
and he had a house in Wilmington. He had a house in Dover. So,
exactly.
It's very, very
and
odd.
Wasn't there a fire in the property across the street from him? The property that was being built, and he and the people who were building this property had been legally opposing each other for some reason.
Yeah, a newspaper has reported that, according to police, police believe or suspect that Mr. Wheeler might have attempted to set that house on fire. And this was from Newcastle, Delaware, where that took place. So very bizarre. Apparently, Wheeler was angry at the size of this building, which was directly across from his and would have blocked his view of the Delaware River, so destroyed his view out his window. But, just some very odd questions around the death of John Wheeler, but the bird death in BB, Arkansas is not among those weird things.
No,
so,
no it is not.
Another weird thing that we talked about the other night, and I got a couple of emails yesterday. I guess we really should apologize for this. We talk about Harold Camping, who's the radio broadcaster who has predicted that May 21st of this coming year is the day of the end of the world. The judgment is going to take place.
Mm-hmm.
To be quite honest, I'd not heard of Harold Camping until Tuesday when I stumbled on that story. Yeah. Well, and we should have, really, because he's been at this a long, long time. Harold Camping is 89 years old, and he's been broadcasting on radio since the 1950s. He's on 150 radio stations, and he's fairly well known, at least among the fringe.
Well, not in Indiana, though.
You're right. No, that's true. And it's not that we spend a lot of time. Frankly, we spend a lot of time looking at what the world, the secular world, is paying attention to.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not as focused on Christian media as I just want to point out that
we did finally figure him out. I mean, finally found. Hey, look, there's Harold Camping.
Right. And he's done this before. Back in 1993, mm-hmm. he claimed that the end of the world was coming in 1994.
Mm-hmm. He's done it at least twice before.
Right. And then in 2003, he made headlines for telling the world through his radio ministry that everyone should leave churches because all churches were evil, that Satan had taken over every organized church everywhere, no exceptions. And, apparently it makes for good business. According to the IRS, he pulled in something like $12 million in donations in 2000.
Why would he care about that? I mean, was he using $12 million for if the end of the world is coming?
Well, that's a really good question. In fact, some folks have one of the emails that I received from a listener, and thank you for sharing that, was a note that he had posted to Camping's website, the homepage for his radio ministry, asking him if the end of the world was coming, was he going to give away all the money or was he going to keep the donations? So the listener said that he did not expect to receive a response. But yes, Mr. Camping has been at this for quite some time. He's been fairly quiet for about the last 5 or 6 years. But, yeah, he's still making noise. And apparently, as we pointed out, as has been reported by the New York Times, Associated Press, many other mainstream sources, he's got followers out there going cross-country in Winnebago's RVs telling people the end of the world is nigh. Well, yes, but we don't know the day or the hour. Okay.
No, amen.
We
to
don't
that.
Know the day or the hour.
Amen to that. Well, I have a question. Did you see this article that I put at our Instapaper site about Glenn Beck's new book? Have you looked at that cover?
I did, and I did look at the cover, and it appears that even Glenn Beck is aware that the cover, if you're not really looking, if you don't know who he is, and you just see the cover, and you see Seven Wonders That Will Change Your Life, and then you see Glenn holding a child.
A young boy.
Presumably his son. I don't know, but presumably. And then a kind of a, you know, another
they're
guy.
They're both wearing sweaters.
Yeah, you know. And
one guy says they're both wearing Mr. Rogers sweaters, which
yeah, kind
is,
of.
I think, kind of a sad
but
thing
it's,
to say. But
it's,
they,
it's,
yeah.
It's Dr. Keith Ablo who.
Yes, exactly. And he was apparently photoshopped in later on because it was determined that his name was going to go on as a co-author.
Mm-hmm.
So he had to be on the cover as well. And because of that, it's sending out this subtext, you know, message.
Yeah.
You know, gay guys are okay.
Yeah. You know, you've got Glenn holding the child and then the other, you know, smiling, you know, Dr. Ablo behind, you know, just over his right shoulder, looking like almost another parent. So, Beck, Mr. Beck says he didn't intend to write or didn't write a gay parenting handbook. And, you know, okay, he knows what the cover looks like, so tough.
Well, I find the title I find the title just about as interesting as anything else.
Yeah, Seven Wonders That Will Change Your Life.
Yeah. Seven Wonders, Seven Mountains.
Well, yes, he does seem to be quite into the numerology thing, doesn't he?
Yeah.
His 828 is, you know, 911, 912 project and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, there is that. We are, as we mentioned earlier this week, or at least, I don't know if we mentioned it or I'm just remembering the conversation I had Monday night with Carlotta Waldman, or talking about, you know, our military adventures overseas.
Have we done all this before?
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, U.S. sending 1,400 more Marines to Afghanistan. So
you said that to me before we started the show tonight, and I didn't hear the 100. I thought you said we're sending 14 more Marines to Afghanistan. I thought, boy, these Marines must be some guys.
Well, they are. There's no question about that.
Well, I thought maybe there were 13 dwarves and one hobbit.
Well, or one elf. Yeah.
No, the hobbit. It was 13 dwarves and
oh,
one
that's,
hobbit.
Oh, that's right. I've forgotten. It's been a long
no
time
wonder
since
you
I've
didn't get it earlier.
I didn't get it. It was filed back there in the Herald camping file.
Well, you know, it's look, we're just going to keep feeding Afghanistan. Look, people, we just need to be out.
Mm-hmm.
I can't see that we have any interests there other than big business interests. Speaking of big business.
Yes.
Come to D.C., Bill Daley. Come to D.C.
He cried the whole day long. Yes, William Daley of Chicago.
Oh, yes. And
brother of Richard M., son of
mm-hmm.
Richard J.
Mm-hmm.
Delmayer,
mm-hmm.
Or His Honor. That's Hizzoner,
oh, yeah.
Spelled in Chicago. Yeah, the new chief of staff for
yes,
President Obama.
A great patriot, according to Obama.
Uh-huh, yeah.
I'm not really sure how that works. Great patriot? Mm-hmm.
He was Commerce Secretary under Bill Clinton, the
yes,
guy
he
who
was.
Succeeded Ron Brown. I believe.
Is he? Is he really?
Yeah.
Well, he supposedly is sending a signal. I mean, this is all about getting elected. This is all about getting elected.
Positioning for 2012.
Let's face it. There is no legislation, true legislation, no true governing going on in Washington.
Mm-hmm.
It's all electioneering. That's all they do. They run for office and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Once they get elected, they start running for office again. Or helping someone else run for office. But this is all about winning in 2012. And it's supposed to send a centrist message, the kind of thing that Bill Clinton would do. I can't see in any way, shape, or form that it is a centrist position. Obama has favored banks all along.
Uh-huh.
And Bill Daley is a big pro-bank. In fact, he's just coming off an advisory position with Goldman Sachs.
Midwest chairman of J.P. Morgan Chase.
Oh, sorry, sorry.
J.P. Morgan Chase. Right. Before that, he was president of
SBC. Look, one bank isn't like
me. Sure. Before that, he was president of SBC Communications. Served with Amalgamated Bank of Chicago. He worked with Bill Clinton on issues related to the passage of NAFTA, North American Free Trade Agreement.
Oh, did he really?
Yeah, yeah.
That's very interesting.
He was chairman of Al Gore's presidential campaign.
Well,
served as...
He's been in a lockbox ever since.
And he served as... He was the transition co-chairman of the transition team for President Obama. So
he's been a community organizer.
Yeah, if you consider Washington D.C., you know, inside the Beltway mm-hmm. community. Mm-hmm. He's from the Chicago power structure. He's part mm-hmm. of the machine, the Democratic machine in Chicago. Mm-hmm. And Barack Obama was a product of the machine.
Mm-hmm.
So. And that explains some of what was going on with Rod Blagojevich, because Blagojevich came out of Chicago. But the wing of the Democratic Party that was not affiliated with or opposed to the Daley operation. So, he and Obama, both Democrats, both from Chicago, but rivals, very much rivals. And that's why Blagojevich was so stubborn in his reluctance mm-hmm. to leave office. It must have galled him to kind of lose the power struggle that way and not get it, and essentially be kind of shoved out of there.
Is it possible that this is sort of we'll let Rahm in, but if we take Rahm, you have to take Bill?
I don't think so, because they're all on the same team. And Rahm is, he's doing well. On the other hand, you may be right. If the Daley family is still running the machine, and I've been away from mm-hmm. Chicago long enough mm-hmm. to not really be intimately familiar, but I know we've got some listeners in the Chicago area who can maybe shed some more light on this. But you're right. Maybe that was a trade. Rahm can run for mayor. Richard M. Daley has decided he's not going to run for re-election. But, as part of the deal, you got to take Bill Daley. Now, as you mentioned, this is part of the positioning for the presidential election in 2012. Mitch McConnell, senator from Kentucky, Republican, made an interesting comment to Fox News today. Said, this sounds like a pretty good idea to me, because until Daley came along, and, Daley's got some business experience. I mean, mm-hmm. president of SBC, come on, Midwest chairman for J.P. Morgan Chase.
That's right.
This guy knows a little bit about the way business works and gets done. He said, aside from Daley, there's nobody who's ever worked a real job in their lives inside the White House. And McConnell just came right out and said it. And he's right. It's a bunch of academics and people who've been in elected office their entire life. No one who's actually worked in the real world. So Daley will at least bring that to the White House. And it's probably a calculated political move, considering the economic situation America's in. We've got a White House being led by people who've never had to work trying to tell us how to fix the economy. So Daley, at least as chief of staff, might bring some credibility there. Might also bring some of the Daley political acumen to the White House as they get ready for 2012. But as we've said before, as we said many times, it's really just window dressing because the big policies, the drive toward a one-world government, globalism, is going to continue one way or another. And we will talk about that as 2011 unfolds. We see the North American Union is still a process that is ongoing. It mm-hmm. didn't end when Barack Obama took office. So, we don't have time to discuss it and touch on it today, but,
We're almost out of time.
Well,
that music's going to start any minute. The reason I bring that up is because there's something I was going to talk about, but no time for that either.
Oh,
so,
I'm sorry.
Tomorrow we will be talking about how your phone is spying on you.
Oh, yeah. I mean, your iPhone may not be able to wake you up. If you have one, you know what I mean.
It may call the cops and report you.
Yeah, yeah. But
more on that tomorrow.
Yes, more on that tomorrow. Until then, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert. Bye-bye, everybody.
Thanks for listening. PID Radio is a production of the PID Radio Network, a division of Gilbert House. Please visit our website at PIDradio.com, where you'll find show notes and links to connect with us on Twitter and Facebook. We wish to thank all those who help undergird and underwrite our ministry through prayers, feedback, and donations. To contact us directly, email us at radio@peeringintodarkness.com. opening music adapted from The Alchemist's Tower by Kevin MacLeod. www.incompetech.com. Closing music, New Day Coming by Steve Grace, stevegrace.com. Content, copyright Gilbert House, and is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derives 3.0 Unported License. For more information, see creativecommons.org.
Gonna step up to the microphone, say it loud and clear, a better day.